We're going to have some time now to hear from Randy, and I'm excited to hear about this just because we're talking about the issue of relevancy. So I'm going to invite Randy up and what I'm going to do is kind of ask him some questions. Really, as I thought about it, I don't know if you all, I can't remember when we had the General Assembly, but here in Atlanta, do you remember? But it doesn't matter. But when Randy preached at the General Assembly, it was on the passage of being all things to all people, and the sense of relevancy, it obviously was an important topic in terms of how do we be contemporary culture, but also not, you know, kind of be persuaded by the culture to be a part of it. So as we talk about relevancy, I wanted to ask you a question in terms of how do we define, or how would you define relevancy?
It is a critical issue today. And I think the church today, across the board, is really struggling and wrestling, or perhaps I should say, unfortunately, are not struggling and wrestling with what relevancy really is. As I've often said, if you watch a church who is just screaming to be relevant, they've probably become irrelevant in many respects. And so it's a very important topic. And we can talk about relevancy in terms of our individual lives. I think it's very important if we're going to be effective at reaching lost people. We've got to be relevant with the people that we are working with, and playing with, and living around, and so forth. We've got to be relevant. And then there's the church collectively. All right, what does it mean if the church is relevant to its community? If you look up the word relevant, it means connected to the matters at hand. Well, all right, what does it mean to be connected, and what are the matters at hand? Well, in the Christian community, if we're going to be relevant, the matters at hand are the gospel. I mean, we've got to say, how do we be relevant as it relates to the most important topic of all, and that's God's great goodness and his work in people's lives? How do we do that with a people who are not that interested? When I think of relevancy, I think you've got to put together two ideas. One is sensitivity. You're not going to be relative if you're insensitive to those around you. You know that. And on the other hand, you've got to be useful. It appears to me that a lot of the problem today is that people are banking hard on the sensitivity side, but are failing to think about the useful side. So if we are sensitive to, thinking about, concerned for, and giving what people want, then we're being relevant. I don't think that's the case, because we've dropped the important factor of, well, what is useful in the process? Not just what is desired, but what is useful. So I think relevancy basically is boiling down to those two ideas, and how are we going to do that? I know this, that if we're going to be relevant to lost people as individuals, I think that every one of us have got to be thinking all the time, you know, what are the non-Christians around me? What are they thinking? What are they believing? What do they think of us? What do they want from us? I mean, all those issues have got to be contemplated. But even if we do that, I think we're not going to be probably relevant, because we won't be useful unless we've got some training and tools. And as I see, typically it takes some coaching to get to the point that we're actually effective or useful in the lives of lost people. And certainly that's why we're training here, trying to help people understand, you know, how do you relate to lost people in our Express Your Faith training. And our big challenge is how do you coach people in this day and age to do that? That's a bigger challenge, and that's something that I'm wrestling with right now and constantly trying to think through. How do we get to give coaching to our people to learn relevancy in relating to the gospel individually? Collectively, bigger story.
I'm not necessarily thinking of a specific story, but an example of where you would say we're being useful, and an example where maybe we're not being very useful in, as we address the issue of relevancy. Not to say that I'm talking about the church at large, but maybe just an attitude about the church, you would say, that's not very useful. But maybe one way we see we're being useful, maybe one way maybe not being useful.
Well, You know, it depends on which, are we talking about as Christians relating and being relevant to lost people around us, or are we talking about what the church is doing collectively? I think there are two kind of, are you thinking one versus the other? Or
yes. Yeah.
Which one?
I'm thinking more of the church.
Oh, the church? Yeah. Well, yeah. I'll give you a point in case. If when I was starting ministry in 77, I was only 25, and I'd had a lot of teaching and training and preaching, but I'd not had any experience in preaching at all. But I was doing a lot of Bible teaching in different groups, mainly on campus settings and so forth. And so I walked into the pulpit, a perimeter, to preach my first sermon. And I had been engaging with young people, trying to be relevant to them and teaching the word to do so. And it just seemed to me that it would be a great thing to, why don't I just use a little question or a story, quick story or analogy or something to kind of connect, because this whole idea of connection is part of relevancy. And so why don't I throw something up like that and then get into the Word of God. Boy, did I get beat up. I mean, I got beat up badly by the best of people, because they came to me and they would say, young man, because there were people coming, and the ones that were beating me up were some older folks, and they would say, you're missing it. You've got to quit doing that. I said, what have I done? You did not start with the words, open in your Bible to. And I'm thinking, man, I want to be relevant. I want to be able to, all right? And so, I mean, I just got beat up a lot. In fact, I tell people all the time, I have a bit of insecurity about my own. If you were a young girl and your daddy always told you, you're fat, you probably look in the mirror and you see fat. And so I just got beat up all the time as a young preacher. And so, man, I was like, that's always been a challenge in my thinking. Well, today, it's a totally different story. Think of today. Would anybody ever do that today? That would never be a question. And what I noticed was that now the needs and wants, have you heard me say this, the needs and wants of people used to be just like this. I mean, if you need it, then you want it. If you want it, you need it. Now needs and wants are like this. They are so separated. What now, the Christian community, what people need, they don't want. And what they want, they don't need it. And it's putting leadership of church now in a great challenge of what do we do? And so I'm hearing now pastors that are talking in terms of relevancy. We have to be relevant. We cannot be controversial, and much of Scripture is controversial, so we don't talk about a lot of Scripture. Why? We have to be relevant. And so this thing is really, I mean, if anything is burdening me right now about life in church, it's this whole issue of trying to figure this thing out, because, you know, I'm going to my grave saying we're going to be relevant, but you do that by being useful, not just by being sensitive. We're not going to do that. And so I think that's an illustration of then and now and where we are and the challenge that we face, and it's a big, big, big issue.
So what are specific ways here that we want to address that as a church?
Well, for instance, if we go into our worship service, I met with our worship staff for a long time, just doing a Q&A. We were just talking about it, and they said, you know, let's talk about worship. What is, you know, what are we looking for in worship? You tell us your vision. What do you think, Randy? Where should we be going? How would you like to see us shift? Anything? And we got a wonderful worship team. We've got a great, great, great team. Their heart is about worship and the Lord. It's really encouraging to see where they are. And I used a quote that came out of the book, The Silence of Adam. I don't know how many of you know that book, but the author, great man,
Larry Crabb,
he said, you know, it used to be that people came to the worship service. Well, no, he put it this way. People today come to worship services to get helped. They come to find help. He says, the history of the church and the desire of God for the church is to come to church to meet the transcendent one and to honor him. We come to give something to him. Today it's flipped around. We come to get something. What can I get? And so the question now becomes, what music makes me feel good? And we've got this whole thing of what is going to cause that to happen. Sermon's the same way. What sermon is going to help me get what I want to do, what I need for me, as opposed to what takes us to a place where we become a people more given to the transcendent one and honoring to him. It's a totally reversed culture today. It's a totally different thing. And so now the Christian community, because I meet with pastors around forums that are pastors of larger churches, and I'm telling you, it would cause you to almost feel sick when you leave. Pastors talking about, boy, I got to do something this next week that's going to... And last week, I remember a guy, we were sitting around, and I said, man, last week I zipped in on a zip line all the way across the auditorium and landed on the stage, and the people went crazy. And now they're coming next week to see what's going to be better. And he says, boy, it gets hard. It just gets hard to keep getting something more and more, you know, tantalizing and interesting and so forth. And I listened around, and everybody talking, yeah, same with me. And I heard, and we said, what are you preaching? And I heard, what are they preaching? I didn't hear the word of God being preached. And these are very noted, wonderful churches, at least in their reputation. And I go, what is happening to us in terms of the... But it's saying, and I heard this among the guys, so it's triage time now. We just do whatever it takes to get people in the building. We do what it takes to get people in the building. And I tell you, folks, you're the elders and deacons of this church. Let me tell you, fight for this. Fight. We can't let this happen in this church. We cannot let it happen. And I stay awake thinking, okay, Lord, I don't care if we lose 1,000 people tomorrow. And I truly don't. Of course, I'm so old now, it doesn't matter. You know, I'm... But this has been my, from the very beginning, we're going to be a healthy church. We're going to be a healthy church, and we're going to reach lost people. We're going to do everything we can to reach and to go. You know, we're not going to say, no, we're just going to be a good, got-it-together church. No. We're going after the community, after the world, but we're going to do it by being healthy. And what it means is our relevancy says you can be relevant. It means you're sensitive to the non-Christians in your... I sit there with sometimes I say, oh, what we did there? No. What did that say to the non-Christian that's sitting there? Did we have to say that in order to be good Bible teachers or to be good worship leaders? No, we didn't have to do that. We could have had the most outstanding worship, the most outstanding teaching without that ever having to be done or said. So, yes, let's be relevant. But you don't have to give up either deep teaching, solid teaching, nor do you have to give up true worship. You can keep those two and still, I think, be a very, very effective church.
Relevant. You think because of this that we have to be aware that there will be people saying that we're not being relevant?
Oh, yeah. Oh, listen, I was with an elder from a different church just this last week, and he brought up the very text of 1 Corinthians 9. And he said, yeah, we were talking about this, and he said, yeah, but... You know, we have to become all things to all people that we might win some. I said, I believe that with all of my heart. But when you look what Paul was saying in that text, he never compromised anything to do that. If you look at the text, you know, to the Gentile I became as a Gentile, to the Jew I became as a Jew. You didn't see anything where there was a compromise. So it's certainly, I say to the church, and that's, I think that's what people are leaning on. We're becoming all things to all people. As long as we're winning people, then it makes it acceptable. And I said, that's really not true. That's not the teaching of the text. It's just not appropriate.
Okay.
Just one last question, and that is just for our understanding. And again, it's not to be critical of any type of ministry, any people, but what would you feel that would be something that we would do that we'd go, I feel like we're crossing a line here, and we're not going to go this way. We're not doing that. Is there anything specific that would really come to mind?
Yeah, I'll say to our worship people, I said, you know, when we see music that is absolutely desired by everybody, but, and there are some songs, are terrible theology. They're not right theology. They're bad theology. But everybody knows them. Everybody wants it. Everybody is asking for it. I say, well, who cares? You're not going to hear it. Leave it out, you know. And by the way, you know, it's true, too, of music, where music is becoming so much the I-centered instead of you-centered. You know, we have to, I was talking to our staff, saying, why don't you watch the music? There's nothing wrong. Nothing wrong with, an I-oriented song. But that's not the diet we want all the time. That's certainly perfectly right. There's no wrong with that. But let's make sure we have a balance in how we go through that. And, you know, in sermons, we'd say, in our team, we'd say, guys, we're going to talk about both felt needs and unfelt needs. We can't just, it's going to have to be, you know, we got to give a good diet. You know, can I use one of them? Just one other closing illustration story. In 82 or so, we had a lady that most of you wouldn't know the name. She's, I'm sure, deceased now, but Roberta Hestenes was her name. And she was the president at Regents College and very highly, highly respected. I mean, really admired. And she was kind of one of the foremost teachers at the time about small groups, because small groups were very suspicioned in the early 80s, late 70s, early 80s, when they were kind of coming into churches. Some of the best churches said, these are dangerous and they could split churches and all that. She came along with a different opinion. She said, no, small groups are fine, but this is the things you need. And so we used her to help train us in small groups. And so afterwards, we had a Q&A. And the Q&A had somebody ask a question to her and said, Dr. Hestenes, how do you feel about the church today? Aren't you excited where the church is going? And at that time, it was the birth of the church growth movement. And some of you might know that term, the church growth movement. And everything, how do you grow the church? And one of the great things that happened through the church growth movement was that the church reclaimed evangelism. Up till that time, the church just pastored people, and the evangelism took place through parish.